I'm Tracy from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship? Then check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks. Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business. You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels' family of 22 brands has over 7,400 locations and the perfect hotel for any traveler you want to be. Like a Cambria Hotel, serving up locally inspired craft cocktails for all my folks who maybe want to meet up and talk about Mad Royals. Check into a Radisson Hotel with flexible workspaces for you strivers who listen during business travel. Or a Comfort Hotel with free hot breakfast, family-friendly pools, and big spacious rooms for the parents who listen with their kids and need a little retreat. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you when you book direct at choicehotels.com, where travels come true.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class, a production of iHeartRadio. Hello and happy Friday, everybody. I'm Holly Fry.
And I'm Tracy V. Wilson.
Tracy, I have to ask you, and you kind of hinted at it.
Mm-hmm.
When did your family get a microwave?
So I'm not sure exactly what year it was, but I was born in 1975, and I'm old enough to remember it entering our household. And it was an Amana radar range. And I actually wonder, now that I think about it, The house that I grew up in was built in the 1950s, and we had a dishwasher. And I don't really know, I don't remember if the dishwasher was there from the time I was tiny or if they had to do work to make room for the dishwasher. But if the dishwasher was already there, the space on top of it was like the correct space to put a microwave. So I kind of wonder if the house was built with the intent that a microwave would go there, or if that was just coincidental. But a thing I specifically remember was my mother's insistence that we needed to stay at least an arm's length away from it while it was cooking. And I also found a picture of a model of the radar range from that era. And I have a sense memory of you pulled down a handle to open it. And it was like you pulled the handle down and it kind of unlocked the door and it pulled the rest of the way down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have such a strangely strong memory of shopping with my parents for our first microwave.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have been... it was after we moved to Florida. That's how you say it. And that would have been at the end of 1980. So sometime after that. And I remember the salesman being like your mom was, where you'd stay away, little missy. Like, this is dangerous stuff. And that just, I will never forget, like, him kind of scare tacticking me about the whole thing. But we ended up taking that microwave home, and that was that. I have a very ridiculous story about microwaves and experiments, which is that... when my beloved and I first got married, I had a microwave already, and he had two. One was like his actual functioning microwave, and one was one that he bought to try to fix up. And so at that point, we had three microwaves. So we picked one that we were going to keep. We gave one of them away to the housekeeper at my work at the time. Because she was moving and she was like, I actually do need a microwave. I was like, great, here you go. And then the one that was kind of janky and didn't work great, we, as the children that we didn't want to give it away to anybody because if something went wrong, we would feel terrible. So we were like, let's blow things up. And so, so one afternoon on a weekend, we went out on the patio because they're portable. You could cook on the patio, and we put things in the microwave. You're not supposed to put things. You're not supposed to put in there. Like, we did the egg and watched it explode. We put a CD in there and watched it spin and spark. That was fun. Yeah, we just did silly things. Nothing like cruel or dangerous. Truly, we were, you know, very ready. Brian is, I call him safety pup because he's very into like always being safe. So he had the fire extinguisher at the ready, and we just played, and it was very silly and a great start to our marriage. But there are some interesting video explainers online if you've ever wondered about that whole you shouldn't put metal in the microwave.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah.
Because you can, but it's not real smart.
Yeah.
It will basically cause it to spark, and if it's something like a fork that has sharp edges, sometimes those sparks get a little more intense.
Yeah.
And they can cause a fire, and that's why you shouldn't do it. Also, the metal will actually block your microwave, so you're not going to cook your food if you put it in a metal dish in there. But like, the walls of your microwave are metal, and they're obviously not exploding all the time. So
right.
There's a combo of myth and nuance in play.
Yeah. Yeah.
But boy, I'd be lost without my microwave.
Mm-hmm. Same. I mean, there's a lot of reheating that happens in our microwave, including the coffee that I didn't finish and now it's cold and I want it to be warm again.
Oh, yeah.
That kind of stuff.
Well, I keep thinking about like how revolutionary it was and what it would take to feel that same thing regarding cooking today. And I was like, it really is like if someone was like, no, you're going to cook in a hologram. Like, it would just be like, so, which is the most subtle Bob's Burgers reference I have ever maybe made on the show. For anybody that listens, you know what I'm talking about. But yeah, it's an astonishing thing to think about how quickly it changed the way people perceived the work of the kitchen and changed it. And it's very, you know, in those Kitchen of Tomorrow newsreels.
Well, and it also makes me think about how, like, there are a lot of folks who a microwave is a lot more accessible than any other way. Mm-hmm. You might, like, people who are in shelters or emergency housing, a lot of times, like, that's what you've got. You can't have other things.
Yes.
And so it feeds into criticisms that people have about convenience foods. And it's like, for a lot of folks, the convenience foods are the ones that are available to them. So chill.
Well, and they're also like, if you were on a very, very tight budget and just starting out a household, and for some reason you did not have a stove or range, a microwave is usually a lot more affordable.
Yeah.
And an easier way to like make sure you have access to hot food than if you had to buy an entire new, much larger appliance. And now they're, you know, you can get a microwave for quite cheap these days. It may not have very many bells and whistles, but you can get your food warm. Microwaves, how we love you. Ruth Wakefield.
Yeah.
I feel some ways about her, and I will tell you a story.
Okay.
And I didn't include this in the episode because it was a story that was given to like a leisure magazine anonymously by someone who said they worked in her restaurant. So it's not one that you can easily verify, but it falls so much in line with all of the other things that people have said about her over the years that I think it bears merit to discuss it. According to this, Ruth, in running the Toll House Inn, was a real stickler about employees not taking any food.
Yeah.
Which I have feelings about to begin with. But
sure.
That's a whole other thing.
Yeah.
Like, at the end of the night, if there were leftovers, they went in the trash.
Yeah.
Which I feel ways about.
Yes.
I think we both do. And I'm sure in her head that was part of quality control and like no one will ever see anything from Toll House that's been reheated, blah, 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 blah. But anyway.
There's also some food safety stuff that's legitimate
right,
with that.
That's totally valid. Yes. But apparently there was a night, according to this interview, where Ruth was not in the restaurant for some reason. And so several of the employees were like, I would really like some cookies at the end of the shift.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had asked the kitchen, like, hey, when we close for the night, whatever's left, will you just put them aside for us?
Mm-hmm.
And they then ate them after the restaurant had closed. And Ruth came in And according to this person, she did not say a word. She looked each of them in the eye, looked at each of their plates, never said anything about it. But the next week, there was a deduction in all of their pay for the amount of the cookies they had eaten. And I'm like, Ruth, for real?
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, if you think about a restaurant's overhead for like, what, even if it were a couple dozen cookies.
Yeah.
A successful restaurant, it's nothing. And if you have good staff, treat them nicely so they'll stay your staff. Like, it's striking to me how many former employees wanted to talk to the press all the time.
Right, right. Well, and it's in addition to the, like, kindness and fairness to staff, food waste is a big problem. It is a big problem about hunger. It's a big problem about climate. Like, it's a big problem that's threaded through a lot of stuff. There are some misperceptions about what grocery store chains will and will not participate in food rescue programs, which gets on my nerves. Because if you're running one of those, it's hard to get started. And I don't want people to be discouraged from approaching an entire chain because people have wrongfully said on Twitter that they don't do that. But like that kind of stuff, being like, nope, you can't even eat that. We're just going to throw it in the trash. I hate it.
Me too.
I get it when it's based in the fact of that has been sitting out for more than 4 hours. It's no longer safe to eat. Or that was on somebody's plate. And that's a hepatitis risk. Like, that's legitimate.
Sure. But these are literally cookies.
Right. That would have been thrown in the
trash. So they already have a longer life. Like, you can eat a cookie that's been sitting out generally.
Yeah.
And they weren't given, they were literally like, put them aside, whatever's left over, because we would like to eat them instead of throw them out.
Yep. They do have a very nice shelf life. They are what my mother would send me as a care package at various points in my life.
Aww.
And also, what one of the things that my mother did before I was born, my dad was in the Army, and he was stationed in Alaska. And like me, as we just discussed, and we were talking about Ernest Shackleton, I don't like the cold. I don't like the dark. Neither did my mom. And so she would bake chocolate chip cookies every week to make the house smell nice.
Oh, there's almost nothing that smells better. Do you have a favorite chocolate chip cookie recipe?
I do, and it is my mom's, and it's similar to the Toll House recipe from the back of the package. I don't put nuts in there because I don't want them. But like, there's some dry ingredient measurements that are slightly different than what's on the back of the package currently. Yeah. So like, I don't know if it's an older version of the back of the package Nestle recipe or if it's something that my mom fine-tuned. But I generally put extra chocolate chips in there instead of nuts.
So I have a trick. My favorite chocolate chip cookie recipe is a riff on the one from the Wookiee Cookies cookbook, which was like the first official Star Wars cookbook, which is a delicious chocolate chip cookie. It is made with cinnamon in it, and it is half milk chocolate chips and half dark chocolate chips.
Yum.
But listen, I normally am going to always want salty and buttery things, but when I want something sweet, I really want it cloyingly sweet. So dark chocolate, get on out of here, and instead goes in butterscotch chips.
Yum.
It's such a rich and beautiful cookie at that point because the cinnamon and the butterscotch just elevate the whole thing and give it like layers of flavor. And
can I tell you a story that unites both halves of this episode?
Yes.
So when I was living in Somerville, Massachusetts, we were on the top floor of a brick building that did not have a lot of shade. And our kitchen became so unbelievably hot that we would go to great lengths to figure out how we would eat for the day without having to turn the oven on.
Fair.
Which, microwave, right? So one day we were at the grocery store and my spouse, who I love, decided he wanted chocolate chip cookies, and it was 90 something degrees, which meant it was well beyond 100 in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And I was like, why are you going to turn the oven on? This makes no sense. And he said, I just really want them. And I said, okay. And so we got home, we unloaded all the groceries, and he, again, I love him, he left the chocolate chip bag in the kitchen.
No.
So when he went to make his cookies, it was liquid. And so what he made was chocolate cookies with the chocolate, like, just infused all through it. And that
also
was still,
delicious.
Also still yummy. I think at no point ever again after that, before we moved out of the apartment, did he ever want to turn the oven on when it was that hot.
I love to bake, and thankfully, last year at Christmas, I got a much nicer range, because the one that we got was like,
oh, yeah.
When we first moved into this house, was like the very cheapest gas range we could get. And it just, like, even though it was new at the time, it was such a low end model that, like, it didn't always heat consistent. Like, it was just, and now I feel like for the last year and a half, I have had like the bliss of a really reliable, good oven, and like, it's cookie time all the time.
Yeah. I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hello. From Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. This month, we're bringing you the stories of disappearing acts. There's the 17th century fraudster who convinced men she was a German princess, the 1950s folk singer who literally drove off into the sunset and was never heard from again, the First Nations activist whose kidnapping and murder ignited decades of discourse about Indigenous women's disappearances, and the young daughter of a Russian czar whose legendary escape led to even more intrigue and speculation. These stories make us consider what it means to disappear and why a woman might even want to make herself scarce. Listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every family has skeletons in their closet. Mine certainly does. Ones that go back 100 years and reach thousands of miles back to our hometown in Sicily. Ever since I can remember, my relatives told the story of my great-great-grandmother who was killed by the mafia. I'm Joe Piazza, and in my new podcast, I'm taking on a generational vendetta, visiting the scene of the crime, confronting mafia experts, tracking down Italian officials, and even consulting mediums to set the record straight on my great-great-grandmother's mysterious disappearance. And in between the fact-finding missions, I'll be drinking a lot of wine and eating all of the pasta. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This week on the show, we talked about Ivy Ledbetter Lee, who represented a lot of people and industries and organizations on what I would just, as a personal feeling, feel like was the wrong side. Like, when a lot of miners get shot at or killed in the middle of a labor dispute, going to represent the mines.
Right?
Sure, there's an argument that everybody involved deserves to have some you know, competent representation. But man, there were just so many things in his background that were like, and then this industry that was, you know, forcing workers in the mine to build the mine, but only paying them for substances they actually mined. So like any work they were doing building the mine went unpaid. Then making an argument to be like why that was an actually good and reasonable thing to do. I was not fond of that at all.
No, I mean, it's interesting, right? I'm fascinated by his work. And in some ways, like, I just have an aversion, even though I know at this point it is a part of the world we live in. I'm fascinated and icked out by the manipulation of public opinion in general.
Yeah.
But in his case, I mean, there were obviously, there are times when he seemed to be trying to do things that were not horrible, but then other times where he was perfectly comfortable sidling up to people who were doing things that were, in fact, objectively horrible.
Pretty bad. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and some of his things that seem more positive as far as a contribution to the world still had this sort of underside to them where, like, his work with the Red Cross was about increasing knowledge of the Red Cross, increasing public support of the Red Cross. The work that the Red Cross was doing during the war was so critically important. But it was also about making the United States and the Allies look good. So it was like there was that layer of motivation to it also. There were a few things that came up in the research for this that we didn't get into in the episode for a number of reasons. One, when his mother and his father met, his mother was disturbingly young. She was 12. She was not 14 yet when she had her first child. And none of the biographical treatments that I have read really discuss that at all. But I was like, holy cow. I know marriage ages have varied over time.
Yeah.
But she was so young when they met that he wasn't allowed to court her in the parlor. He was teaching her Bible verses in the kitchen. And that all creeped me out a lot. Yeah, and, like, I have no knowledge. If her feelings on that are really documented anywhere, I have not ever been able to find them. Where I read about that was in the only biography of him that exists, which was written in the 60s after his personal papers were given to Princeton. Before that, it was really hard for anybody to find enough information on him to really write a biography. That first press release is not really mentioned by that first biographer at all that I found. And so that seems like something that has been something, a connection that people made later on, possibly, because that was written in the 1960s. And so I found it really interesting that this piece that a lot of people are like, this is a hallmark of his career, just doesn't appear in his biography, unless I totally missed it somewhere.
Well, it's possible too, right? Like, I wonder how much we think about a press release as an essential part of any publicity campaign or PR campaign. Whereas then it still probably would have been common, but not like you can't do it without one of these.
Sure.
So it may not have seemed as momentous through the lens of his initial biographer.
Yeah.
It does now when we look back and see, oh, now literally everyone does it and you started it.
Yeah. And newspapers printing stuff from press releases without questioning it, like, that continues to be a thing that happens today and continues to be a source of, like, skewed information coming out today.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs, and if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
I never thought I'd take my 3 young kids to Sicily to solve a century-old mystery, but that's what I'm doing in my new podcast, The Sicilian Inheritance. Join us as we travel thousands of miles on the beautiful and crazy island of Sicily, as I trace my roots back through a mystery for the ages and untangle clues within my family's origin story, which has morphed like a game of telephone through the generations. Was our family matriarch killed in a land deal gone wrong? Or was it by the Sicilian Mafia? A lover's quarrel? Or was she, as my father believed, a witch? Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello. From Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. This month, we're bringing you the stories of disappearing acts. There's the 17th century fraudster who convinced men she was a German princess, the 1950s folk singer who literally drove off into the sunset and was never heard from again, the First Nations activist whose kidnapping and murder ignited decades of discourse about Indigenous women's disappearances, and the young daughter of a Russian czar whose legendary escape led to even more intrigue and speculation. These stories make us consider what it means to disappear and why a woman might even want to make herself scarce. Listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The last thing that I was trying to figure out how to put into the episode, and I just could not put I couldn't find a good place for it to go. He appeared before a lot of different committees and investigations that was like, hey, this huge incident happened. We're trying to get to the bottom of what happened. It seems like this Ivy Lee guy was maybe manipulating the press. We should talk to him. And very often the questioning started with, what is your profession? And repeatedly, Ivy Lee's answer was basically, I don't know. His answer
I've answered that before.
Yeah, his answer would be sort of like, well, it's hard to describe. And then he would kind of talk around what he was doing for a little bit. And, you know, I can definitely see having that happen once. But maybe as it became clear that he was going to be called before a committee over and over again over the course of his career, it might have been good to put together a brief statement to describe his profession.
But he didn't want to, because then they could ask follow-ups.
The transcripts for the hearing about his association with the Nazis and the German government, parts of it are like really just trying to be like, what is your job though? Can you tell us what your job is? Well, I advise people. Okay, but how? And then I don't know if anybody else listens to the podcast Maintenance Phase. It's a podcast I really love. And a thing that happens on that show sometimes is that one of the hosts, Michael, will send the other host, Aubrey, something to read aloud. And Aubrey's voice sometimes will just have this like increasing escalation of horror and bafflement at what she's reading. And that was what my brain was doing as I was reading a lot of his testimony, because it would be like, it would start out like, yes, I was working with this Dietrus, and it would just get farther and farther into something that was unacceptable. Yeah, I was telling the Dietrus how to maybe make Americans stop boycotting them. And my mind would just be like this increasingly loud and astonished and horrified statement of what was just apparently coming out of his mouth. and seemingly just not really batting an eye over what he was saying out loud in front of a congressional committee.
Yeah, I wonder, I mean, we'll never know, right? We can't go back in time and interview him. And I wonder if his is one of those cases where he maybe got into the business truly believing that he was going to uphold that statement he wrote about, like, no, we're going to tell the truth, we're going to be transparent, blah, blah, blah. But then, you know, people become, I don't even want to say people become jaded, because I think sometimes some of those shifts in, like, your integrity can happen in such tiny increments that you don't realize it's happening over time, and then it's like too late and you've internalized it as a normalcy, and it's just like, I don't really know what I do. People ask me to help and I help, and I don't know. I think they hated Jews. I don't know. I just wanted them to look good to the U.S. Like, what?
Yeah.
Like, if he told that to his original 1906 self, what would that conversation have been?
Yeah, it's a good question. I read a couple of references that alleged that he told IG Farben that they needed to cut their ties with the Nazi Party, which would not have been possible for IG Farben to do. But I also was like, I don't actually see that reflected in these statements there.
Right.
There are a couple of things where I feel like people really want to try to rehabilitate him because he was such a foundational part of a whole industry that still exists today. And that there are things that float around about him that are, like, not totally accurate. Like, there are people that say, yeah, he was totally distributing all kinds of Nazi propaganda in the U.S. That doesn't seem to be true. But at the same time, I just do not agree that you can give him a pass on representing the Nazi government via IG Farben.
Like, right.
That, I don't think you can give somebody a pass on that.
Well, it's telling, right? In that testimony, what he says is, I told them that, like, anti-Jewishness would not fly in the U.S., not, this is wrong. What the hell?
You gotta stop. You gotta stop, like, doing it.
Oh, I told them they couldn't tell you they do that. Like, that's a very different situation.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, many years ago, I went to a Stuff You Should Know live show, and I think the topic was public relations. And he mentioned, he being Josh or Chuck, I don't remember which of them, mentioned somebody in the long ago history of public relations, and somebody cheered, and Josh was like, you're gonna want to take that back. Anyway, if you're a publicist, this episode was not a personal slight against you. Anyway, since it's Friday, hope everybody has a great weekend lined up, whatever's happening on your plates. I hope if anybody sends some spin your way that is blatantly untrue, that you're able to see through it. Send us a note if you like Root History Podcast at iHeartRadio.com, and we will be around tomorrow with a Saturday classic and Monday with a brand new episode. Stuff You Missed in History Class is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off. Starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm David Eagleman from the podcast Inner Cosmos, which is now nominated for the best science podcast in the nation. I'm a neuroscientist at Stanford University, and I've spent my career exploring the 3-pound universe in our heads. I've recently kicked off my second season, so join me weekly to explore the relationship between your brain and your life by digging into unexpected questions. Listen to Inner Cosmos with David Eagleman on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. I hope to see you there.